to say it was a bit of a shock is an understatement. I had a minor problem with my sight. Just a 30-minute episode. Talked to the GP. The GP said, well, I think it's something you ought to talk to the hospital about. Sent me into the hospital within 3 days. And they said, when I went in, I kind of left the home and said, I'll be back in an hour. And went in and they said, you've got a major brain tumour. It's been growing for several years. It's now pressing against your optic nerve. We need to take it out straight away. Otherwise, it'll cause irreparable damage to your sight. Within 24 hours, it was on the operating table.
Oh, my word. How do you deal with that, then? What's your initial thoughts?
To be perfectly honest, you barely have time for them. It's such a whirlwind, because I spent most of the following 24 hours preparing for the operation. But, I mean, the NHS are just so fantastic. I mean, every point, you know, from what was an initial very minor problem, the referral, the quick diagnosis, the prompt action, and the preparation meant that, although I was on the operating table for 12 hours, the following morning I was having my cornflakes.
12 hours? I mean, this is a huge operation then. How intricate was what was going off?
Extremely intricate, and I've got nothing but praise for the surgical team. I mean, extraordinary, working for all that time, taking a tumour out of the brain, which is kind of a sensitive area.
Absolutely.
Unpicking it from the veins, and making sure that that was done without any side effects.
You'd only got a day to prepare for this. How scared were you?
To be honest, I don't think I had time to be scared.
Right.
I don't think it properly sunk in. I think it was worse for my wife, Linda. Certainly for the operation, because originally they thought it was going to be about 6 or 7 hours. And when she didn't get the call after that, to be fair, again, the hospital got in touch after 8 hours and said, don't worry. You know, it's going okay, but it's taking a bit longer than we thought. We'll give you a ring as soon as he's fine. And as soon as the surgeon kind of washed up after the operation, he called Linda, she was in within an hour, and we had a bit of a conversation.
And what's the prognosis now? You're looking perfectly well sat here this morning, to be fair. Is that how you feel?
I'm kind of 80-90% there. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time to be fully fit again. But I saw my neurosurgeon this week, and I'm fit enough to be back in Westminster, which I'm looking forward to, because there's lots to be done there, not least making the case for the NHS in the face of government policy.
It's interesting. Something I'd not thought of before, really. What happens when an MP goes on long-term sick? Thankfully, it's only been 7 weeks. If you had to have another 2 or 3 months off, who would have picked up the slack? Is there something there?
Well, I mean, I've got a great team in my office who were able to do all the work that was needed for constituents. But down in Westminster, no. We'd have been without a representative for Sheffield Central. But I hope that everybody notes how conveniently I timed this. Did it during the recess, so I haven't missed much parliamentary time.
We did comment on that. You only missed out on your summer holiday this year, unfortunately.
That's right.
It's got to be a bit of a shame. You must be, and you are, full of praise for the NHS.
Oh, they did an extraordinary job. And, you know, spending a week in the hospital and you're seeing what's going on there and the commitment of the staff and the transformational interventions that they make for all the patients that you're with. And we need to recognise just how fortunate we are in this country to have that sort of service. You know, it's not like the States. The first question they ask when you go into a hospital in America is, can you pay the bill? And if you can't, you don't get the treatment. And we need to be very worried about the trajectory of policy of this government in terms of the increasing privatisation of the NHS and the pressures that they're putting on the system. I mean, why are they wasting £2 billion on this reorganisation of the service when that money could be used actually providing the sort of frontline care that I had the experience of?